say amen. Okay. Let us pray quickly. Gracious Father, thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you for giving us the privilege to possess your holy word. We pray that you will sanctify us by thy truth, for thy word is truth. Let us all decrease, O Lord, that you may be increased to the glory of the Father. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, my brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you about a subject that is dear to me, mainly because of the position that I'm in, which is not of my own doing, but the Lord himself. The subject that I want to speak to you about is preachers, pastors, bishops, overseers, elders, in the sense of preaching the word of God. And all these terms basically means the same thing, but I will use the term preacher because it is a word that we are familiar with. In the Bible, the term preacher is used 64 times. 61 times in the Greek word kairoso is a verb, and it speaks of the action. 3 times the word preacher is used. It used in a masculine noun, and it speaks of the person. Again, going back to the action, and you know in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, where it says, how can they hear unless a preacher being sent? Well, mainly it's talking about his action. He is preaching. 3 times is used, again, in the masculine noun, which speaks of the person. So a preacher is a person who preaches. And you say, Brother Mike, we got that, that's self-evidence. Well, let me give you a more definite definition. A preacher is a herald or one, a messenger. He's vested with the public authority who conveys the official message of kings, magistrates, princes, military commanders, or who gave a public summon or demands. And he also performed various other duties as well. But also in the New Testament, he's God's ambassador and the herald or the proclaimer of the divine truth of the word of God. The preacher, according to the word of God, is the one who represents the king. And in our case, he represents the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks the message of the King. And this is with formality and with seriousness. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. His authority is not in himself, but it lies in the message that he brings. Say that again. His authority is not in himself, but lies in the message that he brings from the King of Kings. He has no authority of himself, but when he speaks, he is to be heard and obeyed because he speaks for the King. The title of this topical message that I'm bringing to you for the next few weeks is entitled Paul, a Genuine Preacher. And with that, I would like for you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And when you have it, just say amen. And it reads, For you yourself know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before, we were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know. We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So, affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brother, our labor and toils, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are all witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comfort and charge every one of you as a father does his own children. Verse 12, that you walk worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. In this passage that we had just read, I believe that it gives an example of a genuine preacher. And in this text, it really is not talking about his duty, that is, preaching. Yet as we study this text, we will see that it involves in that. But primarily, this text is talking about the character as being a genuine preacher. When my brother, Dr. Steve Lawson, the author of the book Family Land, came to town some months back, I had to work that day and did not know what time I would get off. I thought I would miss him, but the Lord was kind to me and allowed me to get off early. The plant manager asked me, why do I want to get off early? And I told him, I want to get off because I want to hear my brother speak. And he said, a public speaker? And I said, no, a preacher. And I add this also, as I told him, it is getting, and this may be bad English, but I said it like this, it's getting to be rare to hear a true man of God. And I say that this now again, it is getting rare to hear true men of God, preachers who have been appointed, called by God, to publicly proclaim the message of the great King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's getting to be rare. Men of God whose whole duty is to glorify the Lord God Almighty. Men of God who is bold in preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. Men of God whose lives line up with the qualification that the Lord has mandated that a preacher should live. Holy men. Men of God who are in love with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Men of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, it is getting rare. It's getting rare. And praise be to our God who still have a remnant of faithful preachers who have not bowed the knee to Baal, but remain faithful. There are still those who are truthfully a genuine preacher. There are still those who teach and preach the Word of God. But it's getting to be rare to hear these men. When I look around today and in our society and see the ones who call themselves preachers, men of God, quote unquote, and looking at their lies and hear their demon-empowered messages, what they call sermon, I am vexed. In my core, my being, it's sickening. As I told my brother, it is sickening to hear these men who call themselves men of God, preachers of God, proclaimers of the good word, that they are demon possessed with these messages. It's sickening. It's getting to the point. It's like I'm getting tired. Every time I turn around, I hear foolishness. Their lives matches their doctrine, a debauchery lifestyle, vessels for Satan, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You can find that in 2 Timothy 3:5. There's nothing in them to restrain them. Nothing in them to restrain them. So they live their lives as they please. Just like it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. Their God is their belly. Their own desire. Let me give you a few examples of that. Brother Rod called me this morning, told me about this individual here in Jacksonville. Y'all know him. Y'all heard of him in that Christian Heritage Center. I heard it with my own eyes. He was telling whatever I heard it with my own ears, not my eyes, that this man here was telling his congregation not to pray to Jesus, not to worship to Jesus, not to bow down to Jesus. He said, quote unquote, "I know that you have been trained to worship or bow down to Jesus." And he called himself a man of God? That's just one of them, but let me introduce you to another one. There's one who called himself Bishop C.M. Bailey. He is known as, get this, King of all pimp preachers. Pimp preachers. He is the spiritual leader in a denomination that is called United. You might have heard of this denomination, United House of Prayers for All People. And within that denomination, get this, they call him Sweet Daddy Bailey. Sweet Daddy. Now, automatically, when you hear Sweet Daddy, what we thinking about? We know how it used to be out there. And here it is, he's talking about that he's a man of God. Sweet Daddy. And according to their denomination, in their supreme law, which is their decreed, the members of that congregation, when Sweet Daddy Bailey come to their church, the members take a crowd the aisles, waving cash money and pressing the folded bills in his hand as he make his way up to the front. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, he has a chair that nobody sits in, which he called Daddy's Mountain. Now, can you imagine being called, say that you're a man of God and you have this type of reputation of yourself, a name, Sweet Daddy? Then you know those that have called themselves the preachers of L.A. Please, people, those are not preachers. Those are not preachers. I ain't even got to expound it there. You know what they're about. You see what they're about. Peter talks about how they flaunt their wealth in front of you. And they got it from them, from the people. Then there's one named Jim Swiley, and this was back in November 14, 2010. He announced to his congregation, he's a preacher now, but he's gay. Matter of fact, let me give you a few quotes that he was saying. He said, and I'm quoting, he said, "There are two things in my life that are absolute. He did not ask for neither one. Both of them was imposed on him. And he says, I had no control of neither of them. The first one that was imposed on him, that he was called of God, the call of God in his life to become a pastor. And secondly," he said, "his sexual orientation that he did not know what to call it at the time. Now he says he's gay." Here's the question. Did God call him to be a pastor and to be gay? Not at all. And there are so many, many, many more. And if you can bear it, you can go to pimppreachers.com and you will see that I am not making this up. I pray, I hope you do. Because I want you to see what is out there. That's why I wrote this down. Go to pimppreachers.com and you will be amazed. You will be vexed. You will be grieved in your spirit because these men who call themselves heralds of God say that they are men of God acting in and living in such a way that is totally against the qualification of what a preacher is supposed to be like. Every time I go on, and I went on it just to do research, I had to go and pray and say, Lord, please do not let me be like these men. I know I'm capable of falling because I'm weak in the flesh as well. But please, Lord, protect me from myself that I don't be like these men. My purpose is not to focus on those who are false, but to see what a genuine preacher looked like. And as I shared with my brother this morning, I now understand, Pastor Rod, 1 Corinthians 11:19. You don't have to turn, but it says, for there must also be faction, section, or hypocrisy among you, that those who are approved, those who are genuine, may be recognized among you. And even though that text is primarily dealing with in the context of the communion, even the principle is still the same. We must have the false one that you may know who the real one is. There must be the false. I can see it now. I remember I used to ask the question all the time, Lord, why do these men are still here? So that the real ones can be seen as well. A few weeks back, I asked a question to those who were here, not question and answer time. What is your view of a preacher? And without question, it was said to be as the scriptures declared. And some of the same thing that were discussed during our answering question sessions, things that were discussed, I also had them already in my notes of what a genuine preacher looked like and how his life should be. But here's what I believe a genuine preacher should be. And what I'm about to share with you come from some biographies of great men that I have read over the years. Also come from men that the Lord has privileged me to meet, such men like Dr. John MacArthur and also Steve Lawson. Me and Steve Lawson, I got a picture of me and him together, and Dr. John MacArthur, me too. We kind of like that. But he granted me these times, and even praise be to God, these men right here. I don't take these men for granted. No, I'm not at all. But most of all this that what I'm about to share with you also come from my heart. The 10 plus years that the Lord has allowed me to pastor. What does a genuine preacher look like? First of all, let's look at his calling. His calling, first of all, it is the highest calling. It is the preacher's privilege and also responsibility that he has received. The call of leadership involves gifted men given to the church by the Lord of the church, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. His responsibility is to provide leadership in worship, preaching, teaching, shepherding, and evangelism. The preacher must be called by God to enter the ministry. He must be called by God, for he would need that divine assurance. And how important is that insurance of the special call? I like what Sutton and Wisby said, and I'm quoting. He says, the work of the ministry is too demanding and difficult for a man to enter it without the sense of divine calling. Men enter and then leave the ministry, usually because they lack a sense of divine urgency. Nothing less than a definite call from God could ever give a man success in the ministry. And that's true. Well, what about the genuine preacher character? Now, again, this is mostly from my heart. He's humble. A genuine preacher is a humble man. His goal is not to be popular with the world. He's not like, as my brother has said, a celebrity pastor. He's not like those of L.A. preacher. No, but he's God's pastor. He is God's preacher. Humble shepherds or preachers are what God required to lead his flock. Now, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is the greatest spiritual leader the world has ever known. Yet, he describes himself as the least of the apostles. And you find that in 1 Corinthians 15:9. And according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, get this, he called himself less than the least of all the saints. Less than his least. In other words, Paul was saying that he's lower than the lowest. This is a humble man. A genuine preacher is a man who is humble. And he said that he should preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's been given the duty, to preach all of Christ's truths, all of Christ's blessings, all of Christ of who he is and what he has, that the one purpose of the preacher is to declare the riches, and the scripture said the unsearchable riches of Christ, meaning that you can't never come to an end of all the riches of Christ. The Greek word plutos is mean wealth, fullness, abundance. To the believer, how rich we are in Christ. Lastly, also in 1 Timothy 15:16, Paul describes himself the foremost chief of sinners. Now, who is right, either the Apostle Paul or the L.A. preachers? Who am we are to look for as being a genuine preacher, like the Apostle Paul, or those who call themselves preachers who flash in all these things, who say foolish things out of their mouth and knowing nothing what they are talking about? This humility that we see of the Apostle Paul did not come of himself, but as one writer said, this come from the correct view of God Almighty. He said that. Again, I like what this writer says. He says, how a pastor or a preacher live his life and function in the ministry relates directly to his view of God. If we got a high view of God, we would stay humble, just like we've been talking about, as the brother had mentioned, concerning about forgiveness. How you see how God is in him forgiving you, we also, it compels us to do the same. And when we see God as he is God, according to the scripture, that will compel us to stay humble. Whether you behind this sacred desk or sitting out in the pews, by you being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, God said he hates what? The proud. He resists the proud, but he would what? Exalt the humble. And a genuine preacher, he's a humble man. And with humility, integrity shall flow from his life. We who are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should expect integrity from our spiritual leaders. We should expect that. Genuine preachers should be respectful, not only for themselves, but the outside should respect them there as well. Why? Because they are in Christ Jesus the Lord. And secondly, because he's a leader of the people of God. He's an example. They are to he is an example to them who is following the master. So the word of God to the genuine preacher is his rule of conduct. Let me continue on. I pray that you bear with me. I need to build this up before we get into text. And to be truthfully, we won't get into the text till next week. So please bear with me. A genuine preacher, by example also, there are times when he's weak in the flesh. He spoke it last week again. The genuine preacher knows that it's an eternal struggle within himself, dealing with the sin that is in him. He sees this conflict and recognizes the problem. It is sin. So he war within himself to overcome sin that is in him. Yet he knows he cannot win on his own. So he cries out, as the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He cries out to the master to help him to overcome his weakness. And let me add this, my sisters in the Lord, you who are wives of genuine preachers, don't you know you've been called as well? And I'm gonna be careful how I say this, but it must be said. You are called as well. Now, you are not called to be behind the pulpit to preach the message or to lead the congregation or to lead the church. But you are called with your husband. And as it was said this morning, last week, who know the person more than God and the person? But I want to add one more. You wives, you know your husband just as much. You see him in his weakness more than anybody in your local church. You see him when he's up and you see him when he's down. You see him when he is weak at times that it seems like he's not practicing what he's preaching. And you see this. And so to me now, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, to me, you ought to be on your face before God Almighty on his behalf. Why? Because not only is he your husband, but he is also your pastor. He is your leader. My wife, she does that at times, and sometimes I think she just like to rub it in my face, but I know what she's doing. And if you're one, ladies, whether you're here or you hear me by CD, if you're one who like to rub it in your pastor's face, stop that. Stop it. Yeah, stop it. You need to encourage him, because he's always, he's dealing with himself already, and he got to practice what he preached, and you see him more than anybody else. At times my wife do encourage me. She say I've got better, and I go with that. I do, Brother Chris. I go with that. I take it. But I know at times I still have old Mikey on the side, and when y'all don't see Mikey, she does. So it's very important, my sisters in the Lord, that you also cry out to the Lord on the behalf of your husband, who is your pastor, who is your spiritual leader, because when he stands before Almighty God, not only he has to give an account for the church that he's been given over the flock, but also on your behalf as well. Well, what about the genuine preacher preaching? First of all, he speaks the truth from his heart because he's true to one who has called him. He fears not the crowd that he faced in sharing what must be spoken, but his focus is totally on the task that is at hand. He is not distracted by the looks on the hearers' faces, for his forehead is made like adamant stone, harder than flint. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said, bold sinners must have bold reprovers. The genuine preacher, he approaches the pulpit with sober and serious of mind, knowing that the pulpit is the sacred desk, not of itself, but it is the throne for the word of God, as Steve Lawson mentioned in his book, Famine in the Land, that is stated by Martin Luther. So we don't take this for granted. What about the genuine preacher's messages? His messages, his sermon is always, always, always Jesus Christ. He does not have sermonettes. No. No, he don't have them. Yeah. He said that's why we long winded. He's like a miner who dig deep for the precious material that is in the earth. So does the genuine preacher. He digs deep in the word of God for the precious truth that the word of God contains. He digs deep. Being led by the Holy Spirit, he rightly divides the word of truth. And again, his sermon is always centered on Jesus Christ. He preaches from the word of God. He preaches the doctrine that the Bible teaches. For example, theology proper, the doctrine of God. Christology, the doctrine of Christ Jesus. Pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Angelology, the doctrine of angels, Satan, and demons. Anthropology and hamartiology, doctrine of man and sin. Soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Ecclesiastic doctrine, the doctrine of the church, excuse me. And ecclesiastic doctrine, the doctrine of the last things. All these revolve around the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. His preaching is not empowered by himself, but he prays that the Spirit of God empower him. He speaks not of himself, for he knows that he is not worthy of, or the subject worthy of that task that has been given to him. But he thanked God that he has been given such a privilege. And one of the greatest fear that a faithful preacher, a genuine preacher is, that he has, one of them, is preaching that he might present the word of God incorrectly. That's why these brothers here study hard. I know they do, because I hear it in their teaching. I hear it in his teaching. My wife can tell you at times I'd be up all night because I got to know what the word of God says. I can't just say what I want to say. I got to be like that miner and dig. Why? Because it's important to you that you understand exactly what the word of God is saying. I am not to tell you my philosophy, my opinion, but I am to speak. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible means. And this is how you apply the word of God. That's why we dig and keep digging. And one of the greatest fears, again, that he incorrectly to his flock mislead them. The genuine preacher, they are guardians of the truth. And I want you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Again, I just want you to bear with me as I build this up. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and when you have it, just say amen. Starting at verse 11. He said, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called. And have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God to give, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Look at verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to be trust within uncertain riches, but in the living God, who give us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. And here it is. This is what I want to get to. Verse 20. O Timothy, God what was committed to your choice, evolving profane and idle babbling and contradiction of what is false called knowledge, by professing some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you all. Again, look at verse 20. He says, O Timothy. I want you to notice that phrase is O Timothy, and here is an interjection, and it's full with motion. He says, O Timothy. O Timothy. O Pastor Rod. O Minister Rashad. O Minister Chris. O Sister Charlie. O Sister Williams. Sister Antoinette, and all those who are of Jesus Christ, oh, please, guard that which has been committed to your trust. That Greek, the word guard, the Greek word philosso, it means to watch, to keep watch. The King James Version has to keep. The New English Translation said protect. And the tense is the aorist active imperative. This is a command. We are the guard to what God has given us. And this is the picture here. It's talking about a deposit. It's like a person who are a faithful and a diligent banker who looks after the money deposit in his care. The genuine preacher of God is to guard and to keep, to look after and to care for the faith and truth of God, the faith and truth of his son, of his word, of his revelation, and of his gospel. The genuine preacher must never forget that God had deposited. Actually, in the Greek, actually means he actually laid the deposit in your hand. You are the God, and now guess who did it? It is God who has given us his truth. It's not just the preacher, it's you too as well. The preacher has been entrusted with the gospel of God, his glorious message of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how serious this is? We've been given the trust to take care, to guard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that it entails, all that the Bible says about Jesus Christ, everything from the atonement to the life that he lived, to the justification, to the glorification, to the sanctification, how we live as Christians, how we live as sons and daughters of the Most High God, his truth. And he's been given it, and God had deposited it in your care. Now the question is, what are we doing with it? Is we letting somebody take it away? Or is we guarding it? Or is we keeping it? I like what the pulpit commentary says, and I'm quoting. He says, Timothy here is to keep diligent and watch for God over the faithful committed to his trust, to to preserve it unaltered and uncorrupt, so as to hand it down to his successors exactly the same as he received it. Oh, that the successors of the apostle have always kept this precept, unquote. Again, I like what William Barclay says, and he's writing this in the letters to Timothy and Titus Philemon. He says, if in our day the Christian faith were to be twisted and disordered, it would not only be we who were the losers, but those of the generation still to come who will be robbed of something infinitely precious. We are not only the possessors, we are also the trustees of the faith that which we have received, we must also hand on. You see how important it is? This is what a genuine preacher is all about. He's been entrusted with the word of God. He's been entrusted with the gospel of God. Not just me, old Michael, and again, old Pastor Rod, old Brother Rashad, old Christopher Williams. No, not just us, you too. So when you hear that vain and babbling and all that, you are to speak the truth. And guess what? You know they're going to hate you. The world do not love the truth. Why? Because the world did not love Jesus, who is the personification of truth. I want to go back to the calling of the preaching again, and I want you to show you how very important this is, and for that we have to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want to show you that the call to ministry is very, very important. The ministry, the effectiveness of it, and the testimony of all local church of Jesus Christ is largely a reflection of its leaders. The principle of Hosea, which you'll find, you don't have to turn, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 9, and it reads, "And it shall be like people, like priests." In other words, as your leaders are, so will you be. This is so true. Whatever the leaders, the preachers, the pastors, the elders, so is the church. If your pastor or preachers are hook boogie crooks, you will be a hook boogie crook. Yeah, because they teach you that foolishness. They're not leading you to Christ. They're leading you away from Christ. And you will act just like they are. Why? Because they are an example to you. They're just like the blind leading the blind. And guess what? Christ said they both fall in the ditch. Let me say this, Word of Life Community Church. I'm going to have to end right here. We are blessed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of you say, well, Brother Mike, is you croaking in your own pond? Yes, I am. I sure am. I'm going to croak real loud. Creak, 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 creak. You hear me? I'm going to be. We are blessed. We are blessed to have men, godly leaders, who is in love with Jesus Christ, who loves the Word of God. And yes, at times, we are weak in the flesh, but yet you know how we are. And because how we are, so shall you be. You ought to be analytical in the Scriptures, just as we are. God has blessed us. And though the pews is not full yet, I don't count that as success. What I count success, that people's lives are changed by the word of God. What I count success is that we living according to the word of God. When I count success, that we loving each other as the word of God command us to love. What I count success, that we forgiving one another as the word of God command us. What I count success, that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. That's what I count success. And yes, I do pray, Lord, please fill these pews up. You heard me say it over the years. I want these pews to be busting. I don't want the line to be way out there. They just can't wait to get in here. But not because we're out here acting all crazy, saying all foolishness and all those things that try to attack or attract attention. No, Lord, you must add to your church because you have commanded us to preach the truth. And that's what we are called to do. We are blessed, Word of Life. You ought to be glad that you got a pastor that's in love with the Word of God, that he seeks only to tell you the truth. And some of us at times, and as we had spoken earlier, didn't like that. Of, well, who does? Who like being told what they are doing wrong? And it's because God loved us, as he had mentioned earlier, and how that God our Father chastised us. It doesn't feel good at times, but who loved to be told that they are wrong? Nobody. I don't even like to be told I'm wrong. But why told him that I'm notorious stubborn? Now, I don't know why she told him that. See, I got some weakness. But I ain't that stubborn. She just add the extreme to it. Now, listen to him. He's saying, no. Okay, all right. I'll be notorious stubborn. So I'm learning. That's why I say, please pray for me. But I'm glad that I'm in here. I'm glad that I'm surrounded by men of God. And I don't use that term lightly. I just don't pour that out to everybody. I am not to build their heads up. They can do that all by themselves. I am not to explode their head. But I tell you, as God is my witness, and that's another term I don't use lightly, as God is my witness, I am so grateful. I am so blessed to be around men that love Christ. Be in a church that is in love with Jesus Christ. And again, I know we are weak in many areas, but praise be to God, he is still molding us, shaping us, fashioning us in the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in my mind that he has sanctified us and put us aside for his holy use. And though many have came against this ministry, I'm speaking my heart now, many have come against this ministry. They tried to break me and him up many of times. Many of time they tried to break me and this brother up. But God would not allow it. He wouldn't allow it. And though there are times when me and him may have some differences, but when it comes to this word, we both submit ourselves under the authority of the word of God. These men submit themselves under the authority of the word of God. You also, and I have seen it in your lives. You think I ain't been watching, but I've been watching very closely because that's my job. That's my job. That's one of the duties that I have as a pastor, as a shepherd, is to watch your spiritual life. And I am to go before God and pray on your behalf that you may grow more and more in love with Jesus Christ, be more intimate, that his word dwell richly in your heart, that you may live soberly and righteously for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my job. That's my duty. We are blessed. We are blessed with genuine preachers. Let us pray.